and I'm a little...
If you're friends with me on Facebook, you would have seen this. I came across this, and I wanted to finish with that song, and I know it was a new song for the congregation, but today we're going to be taking communion, and the most precious gift that God could have given us was His blood. That was the most precious thing. And we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, but this is what God did for us. And it said the Lord did not check who inside the house was worthy. He checked for the blood on the doorposts. None of us is worthy. Only the blood of Jesus can cover us. And I'm sorry if that's a way of some people there. But that's the truth. It wasn't because people were worthy at Passover. It was because they heard the word of the Lord and they applied the blood. So today, does it matter if you're worthy? Because nobody's worthy. No one is worthy. But thank God for his blood. And he does not come and check to see if we're worth his sacrifice. Thank you, Father. So today we're going to celebrate communion, and I would invite you to come up. We have in our church what we call open communion. All that means is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the body of Christ, and you can come and celebrate communion with us. There is a requirement. You need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that's the only requirement. And then we're in the body. So I would invite you to come today and take of the elements. You can come up a row at a time, please, and take the elements, and then I'd ask you to hold them, and we'll partake together at the end. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. Saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's partake together. Father, we thank you today for your body and your precious blood, Lord. Father, we know that without it, there would be no hope. But we thank you, Father, that there is hope because you came and you washed us. And we can say that we are washed in the blood. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for washing us white. So that when you look at us now, you see Jesus and not the sins and the things that we've done wrong. But God, you see us as your sons and daughters. Father, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We're good? Okay. Good morning, church. See some wonderful faces this morning, and we're so glad to have everybody here. So Monday men's Bible study, 6 p.m., all are welcome, as long as you're a guy. It's a wonderful opportunity to dig into the Word with a couple other guys and just see what it has to offer. Plentiful and wonderful. Wednesday night prayer meeting, 7 p.m., all are welcome, guys and girls. However, it is a wonderful, I've been to a couple, and it is a wonderful experience to see people coming together and praying not only for the community and for our country, but for each other and for our congregation, which is super important, especially in this time as we are coming into, you know, the holidays. Some people have a lot of rough holidays. If you know people, just bring them up in prayer meeting. It's a great time to be. Great place to be at. Thursday, November 11th, Veterans Day, the office is closed. So, no office on Veterans Day. And then Sunday, November 14th, there will not be communion service. There will still be service, but we're not taking communion twice in a row. But the Operation Christmas Child shoebox deadline is next Sunday. So please bring in your boxes. That way we can get them mailed out to the wonderful people who distribute them. And then prayer chain. We need to update our records. If you look on your little bulletin, which were available out front, we are updating our prayer chain to include the option to receive prayer needs via text. If you do not currently receive prayer chain communication, it's time to contact the office and ask to be added. You may call and leave a message with your info or email us at info@wellsvillefullgospel.org. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing, and being updated in these prayer chains and having the opportunity to pray for your congregation is super important. So if you're not already a part of it, I suggest that you would be a part of it just so even if you have a prayer need, that it can be put on the chain and that people can pray for you and you can pray for others. I believe that is all for today.
And there we are. So October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and who here knows that it's November? And so the board wants to apologize to the church and to Pastor Dave that we never really took an opportunity to come up here and have an opportunity to pray for Pastor Dave. And so we're going to do that this morning. As I was sitting back there, I found myself thinking about, it's in Acts chapter 12. Yes, I had to look it up just in case anybody was curious. But Peter is in jail between guards, in chains, behind locked doors, right? And there are people, those that were his friends and that he had taught along the way who were together praying for his freedom. And he gets released. He thinks it's a vision. He's just following some vision, right, to the point where he knocks on their door. They're praying for him. And they think it might be a ghost because they just can't believe that God could do that much with their prayers, that God could actually set him free. And so I don't think Pastor Dave and Carol are imprisoned in any way, but I feel compelled this morning that we, as believers and as a church body, would be stirred up to pray for them such that anything spiritual or physical that is holding them back would be released, and that God would answer that prayer in a way that we can not even fathom right now. If that would be all right, we're going to pray. So come on up, Pastor Dave and Carol. I see Dakota moving. Do you want to come up and pray too? All right. So I didn't know how we were going to do this. If you would like to come up and pray up here, that's fine. I know we have guests. Welcome. It's sometimes awkward to know, like, what do I do? You can just hang out. You also are welcome, even as a church member, to just hang out and pray from where you're at. So we're going to take a minute and appreciate Pastor Dave and Carol and encourage them, but really ultimately pour out our love for them in prayer to the Father. God, thank you for sending us a pastor, for stirring in Dave and Carol the desire and longing to pour out their gifting on us. Lord, there's a quote I'm chewing on as I am thinking from them. It's from Mother Teresa, who was confronted with people who said, the need is so big, how can you do what God is asking you to do? And her response was that God did not call her to be successful, but to be faithful. So I pray that you would make it so clear to Pastor Dave and Carol what it is that you're asking them to be faithful in, and that they would walk that confidently, trusting you for whatever fruit may come from that.
Yes.
I pray this morning that if there is anything that is holding back Pastor Dave and Carol, God, our prayer is that you would set them free such that they might walk in all that you have called them to in relationship with you, but also as those who are shepherding us. Lord, we thank you again for your faithfulness to us as a body, for your faithfulness to Dave and Carol in a lifetime of walking with you and knowing you in seasons of rejoicing and seasons of sorrow and seasons of mourning and seasons of dancing. God, you have walked so much with them, and I thank you that that is what they carry and can be poured out on this church family, but also its community. It's where our hearts are.
Yes.
We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And we do feel appreciated, thank you. We really do. I never felt such a tremendous encouragement as I did when we had what we called my installation, if I could call it that. It always sounds like you're buying a new refrigerator, but the installation, my installation slash ordination, and just the wonderful outpouring of love from people in the church and in the body of Christ. So many people from the body of Christ came people who are precious and special to us. and pastors from different churches that came. And isn't the body of Christ wonderful? The body of Christ is just such a wonderful thing. And we really do feel appreciated and loved, and we thank you so much. It's a privilege. It's such a great privilege to get to be here. I know there was at least one person that wanted to share this morning. Did you want to come and share? Sure. Our sister Kathy Chafee is in church today. Woo! Glory to God.
Yes, I'm just so happy, you know, to be back here. Probably about 2 decades ago, I was laying in a hospital in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with food poisoning. I don't know if any of you have ever had food poisoning, but you really do just want to die. I mean, it's just awful. And I will have to say, COVID? Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't recall being that sick for that long of a period. I mean, it was day 7, 8, 9, still sick. Day 14, 15, 16, just as sick. 2 trips to the ER. Day 20, 21, 22, still sick. New things cropping up. It was the longest thing I've ever been through. I live with my cousin Ruth, who was my caregiver and was just wonderful and had a bubble of God's protection around her because she did not get COVID, which I can't believe. But she told me later on that day after day after day after day, she could hear me upstairs moaning, crying, and saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I could feel this deep despair. I just knew I was just slipping into darkness. That many days I was just exhausted. I was beat up. I was ready to just give up. That's how sick I was. And I do want to apologize to the people who sent me beautiful cards and texts and voicemails. But I'm telling you, I couldn't respond to them. I just didn't have it in me to even respond, but they all went here. They all went here, and I just felt them, and I just love that. But don't ask me what day it was, but in the midst of this, I was laying in bed during the day on my side, and all of a sudden, I felt this, like, soft cushion between, kind of lifting my body just a little bit off the mattress, and I just felt this. And with it came these waves of just pure joy. And I remember saying out loud, joy in the middle of this? I was like, what is this? And then it hit me, of course, Lord, that's you, isn't it? And that's my story today. I know that happened because of the prayers that came from this church. My family, I've got friends around the country, but you were taking my name and putting it in front of the Lord. And as a Christian, I know he's always with me, but he let me know he was with me that day. I mean, he just let me know that he was there. And with this, he spoke to my spirit and he said, I am not letting you go into darkness. You are not going anywhere. And I know that was the power of prayer. I mean, we talk about the power of prayer, but this kind of experience when it happens to you, and being a believer, I knew where it came from, and I knew that was him, and he was there. And so I'm standing here today. I'm better. I survived. I lived. And I just have weeks ahead of me of just getting my strength back, because it really zaps you. But that's, keep praying, people, because it works. Yeah.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. It was, when I saw you walk through the door today, yes. Glory to God. Pardon? We have been praying for our brother Carl. Carl, I gave me a good report today. He said he's recovering. The pain is subsiding. He's doing better. And our sister Luann is back. Glory to God. been praying and praying and praying for you too. Amen. God is good. And you know, the Lord told us to pray, and that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Avails much. And we live in a day where there is a lot to be concerned about. And yet, our God is still God. He is still God. He is still on the throne. Yes. Go ahead. Ah. And I shut the mic off. I'm sorry. Do not shut the mic off on your wife. Very bad idea.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I have just heard in the last week or so about so many young Christian couples having babies. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but my daughter-in-law, who just had her second baby, so she knows five friends that are pregnant. And then my niece sent me a testimony about a friend of a friend of hers that had a baby who was born without a heartbeat. And she had a normal pregnancy, normal delivery, but the baby was born without a heartbeat. And so they put the baby on life support, and it didn't have any brain function. Like they weren't noticing brain function. And after several days, the doctor came to them and said, we need, you know, maybe we can need to consider, you know, pulling the plug and, you know, letting the baby go. And they said, well, we just want to do as much as we can to give it as much of a chance as it could. And after that, the baby started functioning on its own, and it started breathing on its own, started, brain waves came back started up, and it's the baby's responding like with normal activity and stuff like that. So praise God. Hallelujah. Who knew that could happen? Praise God.
I know how it happened.
Yeah.
And I know that people were praying for that child. People were praying. And is God able to do it? He is. He is. I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our sister Kate Rulison, still at home struggling with her hip. We're praying, hoping that she'll be able to get a doctor's, she'll be able to get a surgical date coming up soon. But we're also praying that God will touch her and heal her body, and God could do that. God could do that as well. Sister Rita gave me a request for, I don't know this lady, but her name is Patty Pye and her husband. Apparently they had a house fire. You said apparently they lost everything. Everything was gone. And they're looking for a house. They need a house that's got something in it. They don't even have any furniture. They have nothing. So any leads that could be given on that, or praying for that family. Our sister Sue Peck, many of you know the Rich and Sue Peck. She has some serious personal needs that we want to lift up as well. Anyway, Father, we thank you for testimonies. They lift our faith. And so, God, we pray for our sister Kate today. God, that you would touch that hip at home. Father, that you would keep it in that socket. God, that she wouldn't dislocate that hip again. And God, the doctors would be able to know what to do. And God, that you would touch her and bring wellness and health to her, Father, that she wouldn't have to stay at home, but that she could be a part of the body with us again. We thank you for our sister's faithfulness and prayer. Lord, we pray for Patty Pye and her husband and this great need, Father. We pray that you would provide for them, help them to find a place to live. God, we pray that you would touch our sister Sue. Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would manifest your grace in her behalf and help her with the needs that she's looking to you for, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. We put up a new banner this week. The Lord's been kind of speaking to us a lot about pouring out of the Spirit of God. And my wife said, oh, you got to bring your surfboard up for this one. So I stuck my, it's a glorified surfboard. It's a stand-up paddleboard, but I use it to surf with. And but what God wants us to do is know that the wave of His Spirit is not something to be feared. It's something that we can enjoy. We can swim in it. We can ride it. Oh, for me, it's like if you get me to the ocean, my wife says she's an ocean widow. Once we get there, I just stay in the water and I don't leave. I just love to ride the waves. And the bigger the better. It's just so much fun. I love it. But in the last days, God is pouring out His Spirit. And we have been looking at the baptism in the Holy Spirit for a number of weeks. But I cannot emphasize enough that before we ever looked at the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And remember that there are 9 fruit and there are 9 gifts. And we need the fruit and the gifts. In the Old Testament, it says that the priest's robe at the bottom on the hem had at the hem a bell and a pomegranate and a bell and a pomegranate and a bell and a pomegranate all the way around, a fruit and a bell. Paul said, without love, all I am is a clanging cymbal. The power of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit just creates noise. But God wants to have both, so that around the hem of our spiritual garment, there's that beautiful fruit that the bells can ring against. And it's something that's precious and special that God can manifest His power through. So please understand that as we look at this whole issue of power, that we're asking God for the whole package. We're asking for the whole thing. We want the power of the Spirit. We want the fruit of the Spirit. We want discipleship. We want to reach our community with the gospel. We want to speak the word of the Lord in the region. But we, to do that, we're saying, God, we need you to come. We need you to bring conviction. We need you to reach the lost. We need you to show your power. We sang, show us your glory, Lord. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, we'll draw all men unto me. That's what we're seeking to do. Last week, we spent some time talking about the gift of prophecy. And we looked at the Old Testament precedent for prophecy. And it was always foretelling or forthtelling, telling of events to come. We looked at the prophet Isaiah and how Isaiah foretold the downfall of the Assyrian attack on Israel. We looked at not only Isaiah, but also in the Psalms, where David prophesied in Psalm 22 of the crucifixion of Christ. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant, forthtelling. In the New Testament, prophecy is usually not, it's not the same. It's usually not forthtelling. There is the ministry of the prophet, and in conjunction with what we talked about, the word of wisdom, which usually is based on God's wisdom, His knowing the end from the beginning, that will frequently be forthtelling, and a prophetic ministry may flow in that. But normally the gift of prophecy that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13, or 1 Corinthians 12, excuse me, we see in 1 Corinthians 14, and verse 3, and you can go there. But he who prophesies speaks to men for their edification, encouragement, and comfort. And we kind of took some time and defined those terms last week, but edification, to build up, it literally means a building. That's what the word means. It's a, like I just imagine in my mind, a big brick building. Prophecy is going to fortify people. When we hear the word of the Lord, it should build us up. It should encourage us. And encouragement, some of your Bibles would translate that exhortation. It's kind of a spiritual nudge that says, come on, you can do it. I liken it to the idea of, I heard a person say the difference between mom and dad. Mom sees her kid climbing the ladder and says, oh, be careful, honey, come down from there, you're going to fall. Dad says, it's okay, I'm here, go a little higher. I'll help you out. And the prophetic encouragement is something that comes and says, yeah, come on, you can do it. You can do it. It's okay, I'm here. I'm going to help you. It might exhort you. It might help you to get the kickstart that you need. And then it brings comfort. It brings the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's based on the same word where we get the word paraclete in the Greek, the comforter, that brings that word of help and assurance when we need it. Last week I actually edged a little into the political realm that I don't usually do. I made some comments. The comments that I made last week, if you were here, I'm not going to revisit. If you weren't here, I'm not going to revisit those. But suffice to say that I have no illusions that there is not corruption and fraud. Oh yeah, I'm well aware. God and God knows. But my point was that prophecy always needs to be judged. It needs always to be judged. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14. I don't know if I put it up there. 1 Corinthians 4. I do. What do you know? Have two or three prophets speak and have the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, then the first one is to keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Now Paul's not saying, well, you know, if God speaks to you, we can only have two or three people. I mean, afterward, he says you could all prophesy. What he's saying is there needs to be order. There needs to be an order. There needs to be orderliness. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. But there's got to be a yea and amen in the body. And I've been in places where I have heard somebody speak the word of the Lord over someone, and I've said, wow, that is God. And then I've heard other times where I thought, I don't know. There was a prominent ministry. If I said their name, you'd probably know who it was. They stepped up and they spoke a prophetic word over this couple, and the wife was pregnant. And this guy spoke this word and said, the son that you are carrying, God is going to use this child to do incredible things. God will use this. He's going to grow up to be a man of God. And he this and that. And she had a girl. That was a pretty easy one to judge. Now, do we take that guy's prophetic ministry and toss it away because he got it wrong? No, we judge the word. Now, if somebody is consistently missing the mark over and over, and they're saying to speak for God, and it's just, you know, the Holy Goose and not the Holy Ghost, you know, then you can begin to judge that. But just because somebody misses something is not a reason to toss everything out that they've said. We had a ministry come here. It must have been 20 years ago now, and powerful ministry. And at the end, there was altar ministry happening up here. And the wife of the guy who had spoke, she was a prophetess. She was coming and she was reading people's mail up here. She said something over one person, and I'm like, oh, how did she know? Well, she didn't know, but God knew. Incredible. And then she came to another person and said something else, and because I was part of the church and knew the people, I knew. I'm like, oh my, this has got to be God. And then she came over to my wife and she spoke something to my wife. And it was just not. And afterward, my wife, she was upset, and I looked at her and I said, nope. But does that negate the wonderful words that God brought through this woman for these other people? No, no. But the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And what that means is, you know, we have people who God would use in prophecy are people. They're people. God doesn't grab control of your mouth and make you go, he doesn't do that. You have to yield yourself to him. And because we are people, we're able to get in the way sometimes. So prophecy is to be judged. Yep. You got to judge it. You've got to check it, and you've got to know. But the really important thing in all of that is 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Speak a wonderful, encouraging message to somebody else. Now, is everybody going to prophesy? The scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit gives gifts, I'm going to mention it. There is a movement in the body of Christ today that says everybody can bring a prophetic word. We can train you. We can teach you how to prophesy. I'm sorry. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and I don't bear that out in Scripture. There is quite a movement in charismatic circles these days that prophetic words can be taught. And I just saw the offering plates and realized we both forgot it. If you came and you wanted to give an offering, we're going to put the plates in the back. Hey, Eric, would you set these back there? I'm going to do it right now before I forget.
Yep.
And by the way, we're not after your money. Because we forgot to even take the offering. But we have to keep the lights on. You know, there's just things we have to do. You know, God doesn't need your money, but God needs your heart. And he knows sometimes if he gets a hold of your wallet, he gets your heart too. But I'm not going to ask you to give your money and God will reward you 15,000-fold and you'll become, oh please. Anyway, if God moves on your heart and speaks to you to support the ministry, God bless you. That's all we say about it. Prophecy is there to build up the church, and Paul says to earnestly desire prophecy because what Paul wanted was to see the body of Christ built up and strengthened. Does the body of Christ these days need to be built up and strengthened? Oh, God, help us. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to move on to the last few gifts that I haven't talked about yet. Most people, when they talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, start here. And I'm going to finish here for a couple of reasons. I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is probably the most controversial gift of all. People are thrilled if you pray for somebody and they get healed. It's like, yes, God is great. You know, if you see a miracle happen, if something wonderful happens, we rejoice. But if you start speaking in tongues, people look at you like you just sprouted a second head. And there is a lot of talk and a lot of teaching about the gift of tongues. And I have to say that some people teach their experience, and then they use the scriptures to reinforce that, or to verify. And really, they're teaching their experience. What I want to do today is take a little bit different approach. Oh my gosh, I'm going to run out of time. And I want to let the scriptures speak for themselves. I want to let the word speak. I want to look at the word. What does the word say about this? And God will reveal it. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be made well. We've been seeing that happening here. We've been seeing people, wow, get really touched by the Spirit of God. But it says that there are active signs in this, and there are what I would call passive signs. And some people have taken this scripture and really run the wrong way with it. Active, drive out demons. That is active. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." And if you're a Christian today and you don't know that there's demons, I want to pray for you. God help you. The scripture says we are in a spiritual war and we wrestle against principalities and powers, and we need to have our armor on and know what's happening. It says they will speak in new tongues. That's definitely active. Lay hands on the sick. Then there are passive things. Pick up snakes. Drink poison. Well, are we supposed to prove our Christianity by picking up a snake? I don't even like snakes. Sorry. Paul had one come up in the book of Acts out of a bundle of sticks that he was gathering for the fire, and it bit him, and he shook it off. Well, he wasn't going to look for a snake. Here, snakey, come bite my hand, so I can show everybody that I'm a Christian. But it bit him, and they all waited for him to swell up and die, and he didn't. Nothing happened. I'm not going to drink poison to believe that I'm a Christian, but the scripture says that maybe if I drink it, maybe somebody tries to, I don't know, that it says it wouldn't harm me, but I'm not going to go around handling a snake or drinking poison to prove that I'm a Christian. So that's, you know, when the devil came and tempted Jesus, Jesus said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. So, but notice it said these signs shall follow believers. It doesn't say these signs will follow the original disciples. It doesn't say not the first century church. It does not give any sense of ending. And we have cessationists today who say that the gifts of the Spirit do not happen anymore. There are no more gifts of the Spirit. And they point to the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Did I put that up there? I hope I did. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And they say, look, see, it says right there, tongues will cease. Tongues will cease. They're going to go away. I have had people emphatically say that to me. Tongues will cease, it says right there. Can I say to you something? Context, context, context. Look at the scripture. That word cease literally means to be stilled or restrained. It says prophecy would cease. Some people, the same people who say prophecy will cease also say that where the same word prophecy is in other scriptures, it just means to preach well. So are they saying that preaching is going to, it confuses me. It says knowledge will pass away. Evidently, knowledge has not passed away. So what is it that this scripture is trying to get at? If you have your scriptures, I'm going to look down that just briefly. We're in verse 10. It's verse 9. Actually, what we read was verse 8. This is verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. That word perfect there is the Greek word thalios. It means having reached the end, having come to full maturity. It almost begs the idea of a woman who's pregnant and she has come to full term. She's come to the end. It's something that has come to complete fruition. A consummated goal or full maturity. So when it says that which is perfect is come, or when we reach that maturity or that final end, then that which is in part will be done away with. And then it goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. When's the then? Now we're seeing, like, we see things in the spirit and in the heavenlies dimly. God just gives us a glimpse of it. But one day, we're going to see it face to face. When are we going to see that? When Jesus returns or we go to be with him? That's the day. That is the day. For I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So when we get to heaven, who's going to need to prophesy? Who's going to need to speak in tongues? Who's going to need gifts of healings? Who's going to need to have special knowledge? You don't need any of that, but until that day, until that fruition comes, we still need the power of God. Some people have taught that that perfect thing which was to come is the canon of Scripture. I have no doubt. I set my life upon this word. Believe me, I believe completely in the Word of God. But when it's talking about what the perfect that has come, the full fruition, it's talking about when we finally see Jesus. When he returns or we come back, then all of those things will be done away with. But until that time, the power of God is still needed. And it's here and it's for us today. Glory to God. The early church experienced tongues a lot. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to just go over some scriptures that we know, but as I said, I want to let the word speak for itself. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, actually let's go on to the next slide, because Acts 1:4, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard me discuss. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. And then as they wait in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt. They weren't leaving any place out. Parts of Libya, it just goes on and on. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God, and they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocked, saying they had too much to drink, too much wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For they are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Acts 2:17 is directly out of the book of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Oh God. And he poured it out on that day of Pentecost, and it came out in speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And there were people that said, you're crazy. People still say that. You're crazy. You're making that up. You're just blah, 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 blah. Acts chapter 10. Oh, I think I got it up there, Adam. I do. When Peter was still speaking these words, Peter has gone to Cornelius' house, a Gentile. A Gentile. He's not even supposed to be there. Dirty, unclean dogs. And God sends him there, and he didn't want to go. He didn't think he should even be there. And God told him, go. Don't call what I've called unclean, what I've called clean. You get over there and preach the gospel to them. And when Peter was still speaking the words to them, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the message. All the circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and exalting God. And Peter said, how can anyone withhold water? The water to baptize these people, they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Ooh. Acts 19:6. Go ahead, Adam. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the interior and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they said, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Into what then were you baptized? So they found some disciples of John. Obviously had heard of Jesus, but they were John's disciples. Into what then were you baptized? The baptism of John, they replied. Paul explained John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all, which means there were more people. I'm sorry, ladies, but they just didn't count everybody back then. That was the way it was. So they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And, oh man, I really wanted to go on. 1 Corinthians 14 was written by Paul, and it talks at length about the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, and how it is to be used in the body. And Paul was essentially trying to bring order out of chaos. The Corinthian church was a church that was super excited about the power of the Spirit, and they had just kind of exploded, and all kinds of crazy things were going on. I mean, really crazy things. They had people speaking in tongues, like three or four people all at once. They had one person speaking a prophetic word, and so before he's done, somebody else is speaking another one. It's just noise happening everywhere. When they had communion, some people were coming and eating up all the communion elements, and other people came and there wasn't anything left, and they're hungry. You got one guy committing sin with another guy's mother. It just was so much disorder. The Corinthian church was just rife with disorder. And Paul comes in and he says, wait a minute, let's bring order. Let's bring some semblance of order into all this craziness. and he walks it through. And we're going to look at it next week because it's noon. We're going to go on from there. I hope that you can understand that the gift of tongues, like all of the other gifts of the Spirit, is still active in the body of Christ. And Paul's final remarks in the book, First Corinthians 14, he said, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." And the last thing we want to do is to grieve the Spirit of God. We want to give the Spirit of God full latitude to move. And I know when I began to look at this study and begin to share on each of these gifts, I heard the Lord say in my heart that as we looked at them and as we studied them, He was going to release them in the body. Begin to release them in the body. And I believe that God's doing it. And we have had times where we have prayed and the power of God has been so evident, but we're saying, "God, come on, we want more. We want more, Father. Not more for ourselves, but more so that You'll be glorified and that people will come to Christ." So, Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your word is truth. And, Lord, we want to yield ourselves and our church, and we say, "God, move however You want to move. Manifest the power of Your Spirit however You want in the body of believers here, Father." Lord, we want to be people who are known as people who preach the gospel not only in word but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in those mighty signs and wonders, Lord. God, that people would be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. In this day, Father, we need Your power. We pray that You would pour it out on the church. Pour it out on the church, Father, we're asking. And we believe that You are able because You will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, we pray that You would, as we go today, that You would send us out. Make us missionaries, Father, to our community and help us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but help us also to be ones who can move in the power of Your Spirit. Reach people, we pray in Jesus' name. If you're here today, we would love to pray for you. We have seen God move in miraculous ways as we pray, and God is able. So if you have a need today and you would like prayer, we invite you to come up to the front, and there'll be people to pray for you here. If not, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Go and believe God to use you as a missionary to the people in your neighborhood, your work, your family. God is able to do it. God bless you. God bless you. If you want prayer, please come.